It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Now, you're very welcome back to The Hard Shoulder. And this week on the Thursday interview, delighted to be joined by Dylan Bradshaw, award-winning hairstylist and owner of Dylan Bradshaw Salon. Hello, how are you?
Good evening, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. So tell me, you got into hair, maybe this is a simplification, right? You got into hairdressing because you got kicked out of school. Was that a fair summation?
No, I got kicked out of school during it. My mum just thought it would be good for me because I was just, I was kind of probably acting up a little bit in school. Actually, I look back on it now, it was so innocent in its day, but it was just, I think it was one of those kids that just couldn't concentrate and just wasn't stimulated by schoolwork. So I just got a job part-time. My mum got me a job part-time in Petermarket on the Irish Shopping Centre. So that's, nearly 40 years ago.
Mm. And was that like, because young boys and hairdressing doesn't necessarily go together.
Well, not so when you're in a Christian brother school.
No.
And they find out you're doing hairdressing part-time. It's kind of like, and I was big into sport. And it was kind of a bit of a, she thought I'd take the rough edges off me at the time, you know.
Right.
I was a bit of a mess, I suppose, in school, you know. But I loved it. I really kind of just took to it. And it was just chasing girls, you know.
Yeah.
That was the whole idea.
Not a bad place, in fairness.
No,
to start.
It was brilliant. I mean, like, I'm funny, like, you're in a Christian brother school for most of your school and life. And then the next thing you're working with, you know, cute girls and, you know. Talking shop, and it was brilliant. It was a really great introduction for me at the time in a very kind of 80s Ireland where everything was a little bit, you know, conservative and a bit of Catholic.
Yeah, and suddenly you're out into this whole new world, like.
100%, yeah, it was great. It was really a great experience. Like, I was 15, I started and I just hit the ground running. I loved it.
Yeah, and so did you come in kind of doing the usual part-time stuff, sweeping the hair, all that sort of stuff? And when
100%,
then did
it
click for you that, oh, actually, I might want to do this as a career?
Well, I never thought of it as a career when I started. I just thought it was a great job just to kind of like, but I love people. I love working with people and I love listening to people's stories. A bit like you. I mean, I get to interview everybody every hour, on the air, you know? So it's the same principle. It's like, and then you kind of get into the skill of it. And then obviously that takes you to the next step. And then you start taking your career a lot more serious and then a lot more opportunities come your way once you start focusing on. But it was just for me, it was a really great step away from probably a place I wasn't that happy with, was school or education at the time, and just got into something that I really got my teeth into and I loved.
Mm. And that talk, I mean, you must see every type of person who's in every type of situation or point in their life and who are... It's almost like a confessional, to bring it back to the Christian Brothers.
It's like a confessional, but actually it's a brilliant, I've learned, my whole education has been standing behind a chair, you know. I mean, besides the skill that I have, but I also the skill of listening and to understand and to know what people need. And some people talk and some people don't, but it's just when to talk and when to listen, you know. And also I learn a lot about how, you know, to, you know, try and be a better person, try and make less mistakes, how to kind of, you know, be a parent, you know. And I like everyone, you don't get it right, but you do listen to people. People like to tell you about the good things they've done in life and the bad things, and it just somehow kind of sticks to you when you make decisions in life.
Mm.
It's not as heavy. I know it sounds very heavy, but it's not really. It's just to kind of, you know, you listen to people's stories, and I love listening to people's stories.
Yeah. And do you have people who've been coming to you for 100 years?
Yeah. Absolutely. I have... It's brilliant. I'll have a client that will come in. Like, I have 3 more clients to do after here. So I'll have a new client that will come to me for the first time, or I'll have a client that's come to me. You know, I had a client of mine that was in during the week who's coming in for a cut for her 80th birthday. So,
wow.
So you do have that journey and you have a lot of that to kind of to show, you know, over it. But it's brilliant. No day is ever the same. You know, it's a really, really good. I'm very, very lucky to do it.
So bring us back to the start. So you started Petermark, and then was it Red's Salon? Was that what it was called?
Yeah, I worked in Petermark. I worked in the US for a couple of years in New York, and then I came back. Wasn't lucky to get a long-term visa because they were hard to get at the time. Came back, worked in Petermark for a short period of time, went to work in Red's, worked for Alan and for 4 years, and then I opened my own salon at 27. I start getting into doing celebrity and photo shoots, and so record companies would contact me when, you know, celebrities or, you know, artists were coming into town. I would take care of them, and that kind of grew into bigger stuff, like looking after bands like U2, Hozier, all that sort of stuff. And then you look after the Irish music scene, then there'd be a lot of kind of celebrity stuff. I'm very lucky. I do a lot of work with actors and actresses as well. So, and then I travel a lot, and that's how it kind of happens. And I start really working with people on a personal level on much, much grander scales, you know, videos, music shoots all over the world. It was great.
And how did that start? Because I'd imagine everyone in the industry would nearly chew their arm off to be the one who gets to do the celeb climb.
It's much more natural than now. Obviously, Instagram is, I think it's personally, it's a curse. But the thing for me is it's great that people have, it was word of mouth, and you worked hard at something and somebody heard about you, and that was the way it was. You didn't post, you just kind of worked hard at something and you got well paid for it as well. It's different now, everything's gone so different, you know.
People more managed, kind of, is it?
Yeah, but also people work for nearly nothing because they just want to get a picture for the story or whatever, so, which I think is probably not a great way to be. I think everybody deserves to be paid well for what they do, and if they're good at what they do, they deserve to be paid properly for it.
It sounds like you had a great time with the Corrs.
Like, the Corrs are friends now at this stage. They're gorgeous people. We were all kind of starting off at that stage. I was very lucky. They blew up massively when I took care of them. A record company asked me to look after them just for a short gig, and we just kind of hit it off, and then we started looking at doing stuff with them. And then I think we were based in London for a summer. They were flying all over Europe, and I was with them on a private jet just doing all their promo tour. They were the biggest artists in Europe at that stage. It was crazy. It just blew up massively for them. So it was lovely. It was a really kind of great way that I, and then I came back and then I opened my own salon. And that was like 25 years ago, I have to think.
Yeah. Nice big roundy number.
Exactly, yeah.
We'll get into that in a sec. I've wondered, right, because you think about celebs, and maybe, as you say, it was a bit of a different time, but they're still very conscious about their image, as everyone is. Everyone, I'm sure, who comes into you wants to look well and wants to look well.
Yeah.
But if you're a celeb in the chair and you're thinking of something new for them,
yeah,
how do you go about that? How do you even pitch that? Have you thought about it beforehand that I think this look might work really well for you?
In every way. There's no such thing as like the same conversation or the same person sits in the chair. It's like, for example, a good friend of mine who wasn't my friend, I didn't even know her at the time, was Imelda May. She used to have that kind of, you know, that cone shape on the top. I never looked after. She just came in and she had said that she wanted to have a chat about a new look, and that kind of started over just, she was telling me where she was in her life, and, you know, she went for a different choice of music, and we went upstairs and we listened in the private room a couple of her tracks, and then it was very kind of old school kind of rock, and we just kind of came up with that kind of Chrissy Hines bangs, shaggy hair, and it's kind of completely organic the way the conversation starts. So it's like anybody that sits in the chair. So if it's a celebrity or you know, a woman who's driven, for 3 hours from the west of Ireland, you just want to hear their story. It's not necessarily about, funnily enough, hair. Hair is the last part of it.
Right.
You want to understand what somebody is or where they are in their lives or where they're going or how they feel about themselves and what they like or they don't like about themselves. And once you kind of, like a detective, and you get all that information, then you can kind of understand their needs and their wants, and also how long do they want to maintain the hair and so on. So that's really it. You kind of, I meet people before I meet hair, you know, that sort of way.
It's a good way of putting it, actually.
Yeah.
So bring us to 25 years ago and the opening of the first salon. How did it come about? How nervous were you when the doors opened?
I was never nervous. I was 27, and I think that's partly to do with being, you know, slightly cocky, slightly ignorant, just wanted to do it. And I always kind of felt like it was the time for me to do it. I was very lucky again at this time that I had a good name. I was starting to get out there. I had won awards. I was featuring in magazines. I was doing, you know, international work. And it was just a really kind of, it was the next step. So very, very small setup. It was literally 100 yards from here, across the road in Johnson's Place. And we started the salon. I got a very good architect at the time, Tom Dupuyre, to do it. And it nearly broke me, as in financially, just to get it up and running. I gave myself away just 2 years into the business, because I was so broke getting this beautiful salon space together. But I built it slowly. I didn't want to take on too many people. So we started off with 5 people, and that's kind of how we built it.
And I think I read you saying before that you didn't take on a massive debt. You made sure a point of not wanting to take on massive debt with either that or any subsequent project.
No, I think realistically about business, truthfully, is like, I'm a bit old school. If I have a fiver in my hand, I'm going out with a fiver. I'm not going out to, run it on credit. So myself and my wife Charlotte, who's obviously my partner and my wife, we've always kind of kept everything manageable. We've never gone out of our way to kind of expand in a way that puts us in the red. And it's like we've just done a fit out with the salon now that cost a lot of money, but we save really hard and we put everything back into the business. And I think it's very important. That's why we're 25 years in business, and that's why we're relevant. That's why we're still, you know, a well-known brand. And I think that's very important for us to do that. Now, having said that, it is getting harder, you know. The running a business is very, very difficult now, and service industry is just getting such a hiding at the moment.
Is that VAT cut going to make much of a difference to you?
It's funny. It's like the VAT is a problem, but also, you know, the running cost is bonkers. The government keeps leveraging us to try and pick up paces like contributions, next year starting, sick pay, all these things which people are entitled to. But I don't know if small business should be the ones that are taking the heavy hit, especially where we contribute enough tax in this world. And also, I would love to sit down with any minister, truthfully, and ask them when's the last time they've driven or, you know, trained somebody or create employment themselves.
Yeah.
Because, and maybe they'll understand, because anybody that's listening to this that has their own business works, you know, morning, noon and night and 7 days a week that never ends. And so there's no money or there's no hours that you get back for that. So you can't keep squeezing us.
No, and I think there's a sense when businesses push back at that, they just say, oh, well, you're anti-worker, you know, people are entitled to their sick pay or their pensions or whatever. But like, you've made a few steps in the business that are very much about taking the burden off of your staff as well.
Oh, 100%. It's, you see, I think that's part of the problem with debate is that people seem to think that if you don't want to, I have a business that we employ people, we give them a job, we give them excellent training, and we want to give them a great wage, which we do, and we give them in a great environment to do that and to give them scope to do that. But I've issue where we keep getting, you know, let's say officials or governments that are running the country that are probably wasting a lot of money and then are not justifying their spends and their costs. Without getting into it, but if I ran my business the way the government ran their business, I would have been closed up a long time ago by the revenue, and I would have been, you know, disabled from running a business, being reckless. So it's part of the thing is I don't have deep pockets, so I've got to make sure my business runs well, efficiently, and that we have some sort of margin at the end of it, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's not at all. It's interesting to get the perspective, because we've been talking about schools and the problems they're having with budgets as well.
Yeah.
Finally, because I see, I'm at that stage of my life where all my Instagram is covered with 5am club. Get up early and sort your life. You're actually part of the 5am club.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's as I think it's funny, it's middle-aged men going seeking company in dark in darkness.
Sea swimming and swimming. Triathlons and
exactly,
marathons.
Yeah, we're all there comparing notes about our wives. No, we just go, we go at, we swim a quarter to six every morning in the 40 foot with a nice bunch of people, actually. And we have a coffee, we have a coffee there in the Punnett at 6am and we're gone at 6.20, 6.25. And then off to her day.
You're not wrecked.
It's funny. It's kind of a fine balance. I have a wife that would stay up till the middle of the night, and I'm kind of like nodding off at about half nine, quarter to ten. So it's like trying to keep that happy medium going. But actually, I do love it, I have to say. And actually, funnily enough, not in the summer mornings. I love these cold, cold, dramatic mornings now. Yeah,
God, you're braver than me.
Yeah,
I see the happy pair going in and getting those dips. So you're the happy pair of the 40 foot, essentially, is what you're telling me.
Well, I'd say we're more like the happy bananas. Yeah,
the shrunken bananas in the cold of that.
That's exactly
that water at that time of day. Dylan Bradshaw, we could talk all day about stuff, but listen, thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for having me. Great to meet you.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.